This is a Radio National warning. Do you have a dog, a cat, or perhaps even a bird in your vicinity? You do? The following episode of Off Track may be terribly exciting for them. It may lead to deep interest on their part. It could very well be a little frightening too. You see, we're just about to hear what 450 ecstatic dogs sound like. I've never heard anything like it.
I wouldn't normally have agreed with the whole they're bred for it thing.
They want to get out and go running.
This is what they're meant for.
But when you see the dogs at the starting line just champing at the bit and so excited to run, it's why they're here.
Anne Jones with you on RN with Off Track. And this week, dry land sled dogs. Yes, sled dogs in Australia and hundreds of kilometres from the snow too. We're at a scout camp in Kyalla near Shepparton, and surrounding us is all manner of tents and camping trailers. Outside of each, there's a car, a fire, and a line of dogs. The dogs and their owners are here for the whole weekend, competing over short distances between 2 and 6 kilometres. It's serious business, and the dogs are excited.
Most of the dogs know a start clock, and when they hear that, they just want to go, they get excited.
And they're not the only ones.
Where's the speed?
Everyone loves it so much. This dog is so happy, he's lost his voice.
Did you get any sleep?
Yeah, they generally all quiet down at night. Most people put them in a trailer and stuff like that, so they quiet right down. But when they start getting out in the morning or it's feed time, it gets very, very loud around here.
Daniel Dutch. More from him in a minute. That's the other thing that's here, dog trailers. You might have seen them on the highway. Maybe your neighbour down the road has one and you've often wondered why. Well, they might be sled dog races. In Australia, most sled dog sport happens far away from the snow, and instead of a sled, the bigger teams of dogs pull little chariots through the bush. It looks like so much fun.
It is amazing. One of those runs I did with the Malamute Club many, many years ago, which was a 16k run, we'd run about 10 kilometres, I think, so the dogs were nice and steady in their pace, just chilling, and I think about 200 metres up the track, a whole herd of kangaroos came through the track and the dogs just took off. I was flying. I was absolutely hanging on for dear life and I had the biggest grin on my face. It was amazing. It is so much fun. So much fun. It's not fun if you come off at that speed, but it's amazing, the feeling.
Shelley Shering. There are a number of different types of races going on over this weekend. There are teams of 6 dogs pulling a rig through the bush and then smaller teams of dogs pulling a scooter the size of a mountain bike with big wheels. The racers scoot as they go along, slapping their feet down to get more traction and speed.
3, 2, 1. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
And then there's bike joring, where the dogs actually pull you on a bike, and cannon cross, where you run along with your dog attached at the hip with a harness. What sort of people are they? Engineers, tradies, barristers, nurses, all sorts. All dog people. And what sort of dogs are they? Darren Scragg is the president of the Australian Sled Dog Sports Association.
I've seen a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel. It was a rather large one in a race in Victoria 3 or 4 years ago. I've seen bull terriers. They're generally going to be strong enough to pull the particular weight that they're pulling. So the normally medium-sized dogs do best, border collies, labradors, crossbreeds like Alaskan huskies, and a lot of pointer breed dogs. So German shorthaired pointers, English pointers do very, very well. In fact, they're some of the most competitive dogs going around these days. But generally, most of them are sort of medium-sized dogs, sort of border collie size upwards. So traditionally, it had always been Siberian huskies and Alaskan malamutes, that Spitz breed. We're seeing a lot more crossbreeding and, you know, non-traditional Arctic dogs being used. And that's been a trend that's carried over from the United States and Scandinavia, where the sport's really, really big. I was in high school, and our groundsman at our high school was a breed of Siberian Huskies. And I always liked that wolf sort of look. I rehomed a dog off him when I first went to university, and I couldn't control him. So this guy at my old high school said, well, why don't you take him out and try sled dog racing? So I did, and 20 years later, I've got 9 of them, and I hate to think how much money I've spent on the sport, yeah.
You've also dragging the family in by the look of it?
Yep. Yeah, sled dog racing is a great family sport. Partners race, you know, husbands and wives race, and their kids sort of fall in love with the animals and they race dogs too. So it's one of those sports where you can all participate and potentially even compete against each other. I know some of the families here have big rivalries, you know, when a wife beats a husband or vice versa, or a partner, that, you know, there's a bit of stick over the coffee table when they get home.
Jennifer Cornell was standing next to the finish line cheering on the dogs and mushers. That's what the races are called.
Oh, definitely a social sport. Yeah, most definitely. We've met up with people that we may only see once a year from interstate. We're still friends from the year before and things like that. And dog people are always lovely people.
You can just actually hear the joy in the air, really, can't you?
It is. It's lovely, isn't it? It's a lovely atmosphere.
Good boy!
My name's Daniel Dutch. We live in Adelaide, so yeah, a bit of a trip over for us. We left very, very early Friday morning, about 2 a.m. in the morning, got over here at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so yeah, long drive.
How many dogs do you have here?
We've got 4 here, so we have 3 Siberian Huskies and 1 Boxer Cross Labrador. So the 3 Siberians, they run in a team together. The Boxer Cross Labrador I do canning cross with, so I'm not actually on the scooter, I do the running myself.
What sort of distance do you cover?
Canny Cross this weekend, we're doing 3 kilometres, and I think the 3-dog team done about 3.6, so yeah.
So you cover a fair bit of ground, because I'm imagining you're not just trotting along, you're going pretty hard?
Yeah, I think in Canny Cross we're hoping to average about 15 k's per hour. The 3 dogs, I think they were up around 20, so yeah, that's not too bad for them.
Can I ask you, when you're running your 3 dogs together, what sort of contraption are they pulling?
So the 3 dogs there on a rig, so it's kind of like a chariot. Yeah, so yeah, you've got 2 small wheels at the back, a bigger one, and you basically stand on it. And yeah, basic steering, like a normal push bike, yeah.
Do you run at all, or do you literally get towed?
Yeah, you do a bit of running with the 3 dogs, you still got to help them out. They're kind of the transition class between a 2-wheel scooter and a rig, so it's a bit heavier for them to pull along, so you do have to do a fair bit of work to help them out still.
Yeah, because how much does your little chariot weigh?
I think ours is only about the 10-kilo mark, but ours is probably the lightest going around. Ours is very, very small in comparison to some of the others.
How much can these dogs pull?
Well, we do weight pull with our guys as well, when they pull up around the 600 kilo mark with that, so yeah.
That's quite phenomenal, because I mean, they are a large-ish dog, but they're not huge, are they? They're not like, you know, Great Dane size.
Yeah, no, they're pretty small. Our guys are all around the 18, 19 kilo mark, so they're pretty lean, mostly muscle, so yeah.
That's pretty phenomenal weight pull, really, for a dog that size.
Yeah, I think it ends up at about 20 times their weight, so yeah, in weight-to-weight ratio.
Daniel Dutch. One of the things that lets the dogs pull that weight safely is the harness. Shelley Shering is the secretary of the Northern Victorian Sled Dog Club and one of the organisers of this weekend's event.
Have they all come in up there?
The line that's actually attaching them to the scooter, it's got a bungee on it, so it sort of stretches and takes a bit of the pull. You'll find a lot of them will actually pull it to right to the end. But yeah, that's to sort of stop any jarring through the body as they're pulling through. Gives them a little bit of leeway so they're not tugging all the time.
Do things go wrong?
Yes, all the time. Nothing ever goes as planned. I mean, we've had rigs go out on night heats. Teams are just going so fast that, you know, especially when they're first taking off, the dog's adrenaline is just so high. They take off so quick. And we've had people just come off, coming out of the start chute, rigs will break and then they can't continue. Sometimes dogs overdo it and they can overheat. That's why we've got to have the temperatures nice and cold for them to run. We want to make sure that the temperatures are under 15 degrees for running. If the humidity's high, that then also makes that temperature lower as well. I think off the top of my head, if the humidity's really high, you've got to take about 3 degrees off. So that would then come down to about 12 degrees it needs to be under. We do have a lot of dogs that run really fast and they do overheat. So the colder it is, the better.
To make sure it's cold enough and avoid overheating, most of the races are run early in the morning or even at night. The coat of the more traditional-looking dogs, the Huskies and the Malamutes, is part of the problem with overheating. They're made for Arctic conditions. Jennifer Cornell explains further.
That coat is a double coat, and it's generally quite thick, and especially in the winter. And they generally drop coat twice a year. When they drop coat, they really drop coat. You could almost stuff a pillow with the amount of hair that you get out of them. They have a guard coat and they have an undercoat, and it's important for that guard coat to be there because that helps them through the winter, just protect them from rain and snow and things like that wherever you live. We got one long hair out of the litter and we kept the long hair, although we could have sold him 10 times over. He looks like little Yoda because his ears stick out this way, because it's not actually his ears that are sticking out there, it's the fluff off his ears, you know, and it sticks out sideways and he looks like a little Yoda.
And he's probably as wise as Yoda as well.
Yeah, and he's got this beautiful little bear type face and he's so sweet.
And a panda. What are you doing? Big. Good boy.
How do your dogs go in South Australia? It's a pretty hot climate.
Yeah, they're not too bad. Obviously, we only run in the winter, so through the summer they like to sit around and sleep. Temperatures so far this year have been a bit warm, but we're slowly getting a bit cooler and starting to get some cades into them, so that's good.
How's that affected your preparation?
The dogs are a little bit underdone. They're struggling for distance at the moment, but hopefully they're going to build up some K's towards the season and will be good for about nationals when they come around in the middle of the year.
Okay, well, that's not very far away.
not too long now, but we're starting to get the temperature drop now, so we'll be able to get some K's into them.
Richard is the race vet who is camping out with the dogs and owners, and he's just taken someone's spare dog for a run in the Cannon Cross. This is the third year in a row that he's been the race vet for the Northern Victorian Sled Dogs Classic.
They run incredibly hard, and I guess they're, you know, kind of like our Australian working dogs. Over that distance that they're running, they tend to forget everything else and it's all about the running, and then they deal with the problems afterward. So it's sort of up to us, I suppose, putting them in this environment and that situation to make sure it's a safe conditions for them to run like that. We had an example last night where we had to cancel a race because the ambient temperature and humidity was too high for the dogs to race and run hard and come back healthy and happy.
We actually clocked Rocky at doing 40 k's an hour, right? Over 500 metres, he did 40 k's an hour, and my son wasn't even scooting. He was just sitting on the scooter. This is our friends coming home.
Conorora, Shinto, come on.
Aurora, Shinto, come on.
Come on.
Oh, look at that. Isn't that gorgeous?
Good girl. That's one of our pups. We bred that dog.
What an absolute beauty.
Yeah, I'm so proud of her. She's so gorgeous. Yeah, we bred her, and that's the 91 and 93 are the owners of those two dogs. And the one we bred... Oh, no. It's all right. It's all right. We've got them.
You can't quite hear it there, but that's a bit of a dog fight. I suppose it's bound to happen at some point. There's something like 450 dogs at this event, and in this case, one dog or the other got a little bit too close for polite conversation as they came through the chute at the end of the race. This one was really a bit of a tussle that was quickly broken up by the vigilant owners. But here's Darren Scragg again. He's been racing for a couple of decades.
We do have issues. It is uncommon. There's normally a reason. There's a female in season. There's a bone that's close. So we've been lucky. I better touch wood because there's nothing worse when there's dog aggression issues.
We've only had one fight, I think, in the 3 years that I've been here, and that was, like, minor injuries. So not really, no. I mean, the rules are pretty strict. I mean, the major issue is overheating and or foot lesions or lacerations, and yeah, we haven't come across those at all. So we've just had one minor fracas between a couple of groups on a race, and the major issue with the owners, not with the dogs. So, and I couldn't help with that.
What sort of things do the dogs get out of such an event?
You just have to watch them at the starting line, I think. They just I wouldn't normally have agreed with the whole they're bred for it thing, but when you see the dogs at the starting line just champing at the bit and so excited to run, it's why they're here. It's quite incredible. I find it, quite satisfying to see dogs so happy and enjoying themselves.
The good thing about this sport in particular is it's a way for a dog to vent its natural energy. It uses a lot of energy and they go home tired and relax. I mean, I hope you've noticed that most of the dogs here love it. For these sorts of dogs, like my Siberians, that's what they're bred to do. But as you see with the hounds and the crossbreeds, they love it too. They get to go with their owner, who feeds them and loves them, and run around a track as fast as they can. The good thing about the sport, though, is it does get you out into nature. You know, we're running around a beautiful studded red gum field, 20 kilometres outside of Shepparton. And a lot of our races take us to beautiful parts of the world. A lot of people have a romantic connection with that Alaskan wilderness and the big races in the United States. Most people want to go to the Alaska because that's where the fastest people are. So if you want to compete against the best, you don't have to go to North America or Scandinavia.
Good boy!
Today on Off Track, we're actually on the tracks of the dryland sled dog races at Kyala near Shepparton in northern Victoria. And I have to say, I've never been to a sporting event like it. The excitement and happiness is palpable and audible. This is the sound of hundreds of very happy, very excited dogs. The dogs and their owners are camping over the weekend to take part in sled races where they pull big scooters or gigs through the bush and battle the clock and each other. But of course, this weekend is just one within the whole year, and if you talk with any of the participants, you quickly come to understand that the dogs are pretty much the centre of their life for the whole calendar year.
We have Alaska Malamutes. They can be lazy, but they do need a lot of walking. They can be very headstrong dogs, very cheeky. Some of them aren't too keen on other dogs, so they're the breeds on the track that most people that are running Malamutes may pull them way off to the side to let the other teams go through, because some of them do have attitudes, but they're a lot of fun. They're a heavy hauling dog, so they'll go the distance. The Siberian Huskies and stuff that race out here, they're all for speed, whereas ours, you could sort of sit on a gig and sort of do 12, 13 kilometres an hour and just chill, and they would just pull you all the way. This sport's a huge part of our life. I do show and breed as well. We sort of do that in the warmer months. And I mean, it just about takes up nearly every weekend. If we're not doing something, with the dogs, we're doing something to prepare or training, or we're out running them and running events. They tend to know the difference between things as well. My dogs will know the minute I put a show lead on them that they're going to be shown, and they need to, pace around a show ring and be pretty and put on a good face and wag their tails and be really happy. And when we're racing, they're wearing a different collar. They sort of associate the two as well. And the harness goes on. The minute the harnesses come out, they go crazy. They want to get out and go running.
So after a long summer, how do the dogs react when you start to train them again?
Ah, they love it. They love it because this is what they're meant for. They enjoy the races. If they didn't enjoy it, we wouldn't do it. Because the most important thing is your dog's health and happiness. Our Champ, he's just like, he likes to get out there and just smell the fresh air. He knows when we're coming into a very, very country type area, and he starts playing up in the thing, yelping and carrying on, saying, "Hey, come on, let us out," So, yeah, no, that's mainly because the dogs really love it, and we love it. So, we love our dogs.
Come on, puppy! Come on, puppy! Come on, puppy!
What do you call a person who is actually running the race?
Generally a musher is what we call them. Yeah, that's a term that's come over from North America. The other one we hear a lot is hike. Some people make funny noises, sing to their dogs. It's actually best not to say much. You want them to be motivated for their own reasons and run. But hike, mush, people make gurgling kookaburra noises and sing to their dogs and high-pitched sort of squeals, whatever works. Yeah, but hike and mush are the traditional things.
How do you steer them?
We use voice commands. So I use left and right because I never got taught the G and haw, but G and haw is the other version. I think G and haw come about because they sound distinctly different for the dogs, where left and right can easily be confused. The other major command is stop.
Stop, stop, stop!
Obviously, we're not stop and stand, and on by. So if you come to a corner, like an intersection, where you don't want them to turn, you use the term on by. And you hear a lot of people screaming no and leave it. That might be because a kangaroo goes in front of them or a bird or something like that.
Wait, no.
When you see puppies getting trained, that's the most interesting because they sort of only hold concentration for a short period of time and you just need a butterfly to float across their head and they're off into the off into the forest or into the bush.
How trained are they? Is it like a horse? That level of training?
I have seen people that good. I wish I was, but I'm not. There's a lady that she's had very big teams and she just lines them all out, ready to start. They just stand there, doesn't need to hook the line on or anything. But there are some very, very good, very smart dog people here that train their dogs very, very well. Yeah.
What sort of connection does a musher have with their animal?
Those that have been running for a very long time, they can read their dogs from the rig. They know what their dogs are going to do. They can read their teams like... probably know what's going on before it's going to happen. So they do have a very, very close connection with them, and a lot of them do a hell of a lot of training as well. So they do have very close bonds with their dogs, and you've sort of got to have that to sort of know what your team's going to do out on the track as well.
I have to say that every single person I've seen so far has got a huge grin on their face, like serious cheek-numbing grin, you know, if you kept it on there for a while. Is it like that the whole weekend?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that the most joy the people get out of it is seeing that their dogs are really enjoying doing what they're doing. They literally dress themselves into harnesses. They want to get out there on the track. You see them at the start line and they are squealing to get out there. They're trying to jump out the start chute before the five beeps have gone off. They're so excited and they just love it. Of course, when you get back, you've got a happy, contented dog that's run a few Ks and is, yeah, just really relaxed.
The dogs aren't the only ones who are relaxed. Jennifer Cornell explains her own particular connection to her dogs.
I used to breed German Shepherds and I stopped breeding German Shepherds about 10 years ago. And when I lost my last bitch, she was my pride and joy and I suffered terribly when she went. I mourned her for such a long time. And then my son said, look, she's been gone a while now, Mum. Can I have a dog? I have a bipolar problem, and that is sort of where your moods are really swinging one way and then the other. So I live with him because he's my carer, and I said, yeah, of course, what do you want? He said, I want a Malamute. He said, I've been researching them for about 6 months now, and he said, I would love to have a Malamute. And I turned around and I said, Jodie, I said, they're a dog that needs a lot of looking after. I turned around and told him that he would have to do all the looking after himself because I didn't want to get emotionally attached. That was a silly thing to say because I got attached to her on the drive home. She was absolutely such a beautiful little puppy.
So how many do you have now?
We have five now. That's Mum, Dad and three babies. They keep me sane. I have them all day, every day. And I go out and I brush them and I comb them and I feed them and I spend a lot of time with them.
Now, the thing that you were concerned about initially, that upkeep and that high level of care, actually turned out to be a saving grace for you.
Yes, yes, it was, most definitely, because I now actually I feel that I've got something to do. And went on with them. They're so placid and they're so lovely and they are so loving, you know. I mean, I'll sit down on a chair and brush them and they'll come up and give me a cuddle around the neck and everything, you know.
And so the racing is almost the icing on the cake.
Oh, yes, it is definitely the icing on the cake, especially if you win. They are really, really my lifesaver. And I think that if a dog... or any animal can do that for somebody, I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful.
Jennifer Cornell, Shelley Shearing,
Darren Scragg, Richard the Vet, and Daniel Dutch, and that's Panda singing us a song. Of course, I recommend heading to the Off-Track website so that you can admire the photos of the howlers and also have a listen to the past shows too. abc.net.au/rn and then use the program menu on the right to find us. I'm Anne Jones, and after all that running around, I need a cup of tea. And perhaps I'll let you inside so that we can sit on the couch together. It's a little bit of a treat. Next time, here on Off Track, I'll take you for walkies somewhere else.
Are you ready, Panda? Line out. Let's go.